Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You may want to turn me off right away because I'm going into something the Lord began to show me on Friday. It's not that God is angry with you or God is upset with you. God just wants to get us out of ruts and get our lives in a place where we enjoy ourselves. You know, God enjoys us. How many understand that? God just absolutely loves us. Do you ever have a critter, an animal that you just enjoyed so much, but it had a bad habit?
Yeah.
You didn't go out and shoot it, did you? somebody calls that dog's name Chili. No. I call mine Fluffy. But anyway, I want to show you something, and then I want to show you why God wants you to do something. And God leads us. The Bible says, therefore, I remind you in verse 6. I told you 2 Timothy 1. Man, I tell people and then I still get in trouble. How many heard me say 2 Timothy 1? Thank you. I'm glad that I'm not totally delusional. We want you to have fun in church, but we want you to leave here with more than you came with, okay? Okay, everybody but Jerry, we're in 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you think those two verses have any connection? Or do you think Paul was just in the Holy Spirit, was just putting some filler in there? I don't know if I've heard anybody preach what I'm going to preach to you today about these two verses, but I'm sure there's nothing new under the sun. And I want you to think about it. Because verse 6, people just throw out everything against fear. But there's something here God is saying specifically to the gifts. You with me? Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. How many have ever said you never have a purpose? You don't have a purpose. There it shows God called you for his purpose. So you have a purpose. There is purpose-driven Christians or purpose-led Christians. Amen? And grace which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. If I don't get to that verse, understand something. God can only keep what you commit to him. If you're going to keep it yourself, you can have it. But when we take our lives and commit our lives and everything we have to him, he watches it. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your children. You can trust him with your grandchildren. You may trust him with everything. Look at me now. You can even trust him with this. I know you can trust him with my pocketbook. I got a couple bucks in there. I'll wait till it's empty and I'll give it to you. We start out with this verse, I remind you. What does it mean to remind somebody of something? Have they ever had that thought before? What were you saying, Jim?
They don't say they've already heard it.
They've already heard it. I remind you of something that has transpired. I remind you of something that I've brought to you. I remind you of something I've said to you. I remind you of certain incidences or situations you were in. I want you to remember. It's time that the church remembers. There are things we need to forget. But the problem with most of it is we remember the things we should forget and forget the things we should remember. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I resemble that. To stir up the gift. Every one of you as believers have gifts of God within you. You are valuable in the kingdom of God. As we said earlier, you have purpose. You have a reason to live. But I also want you to remember that the enemy, the devil, wants you to forget everything God's ever done for you, everything God's ever spoken to you, every situation that God ever brought you through. He wants to cover that up, and he wants to cover up the anointing that God's placed within you. So Paul's telling Timothy, keep in mind, everybody talks about Timothy as being a kid. Timothy pastored probably the largest church of that day. That church was in Ephesus, and it was the largest church in that region until the enemy crept in and the Roman government began to kill Christians and things started to fall apart. And Paul's writing to a wounded Timothy. A man who's much of the people that went to his church turned against God, or walked away from God, and turned against the church. Why do we need, and why would God tell us to stir up the gifts? Why would God tell us to fan that flame? If you have the NIV, I believe that's all it reads. Other places says, kindle the fire. How many have ever been camping? How many's ever had a fire that was just on his last breath? And so you threw a great big log on it. No, we took some kindling wood. Starting a fire in your stove at home. Take some kindling wood. Get a little birch bark. Start the fire. Fan the flame. Kindle it. Friday morning I went home just to take puppy out. Thinking about breakfast, of course, we had people that were still coming, and thinking about preaching on stir up the gift, because I got that phrase early in the week. And the Lord began just, or the Holy Spirit inside just began to prompt me on some stuff. Now, he knew who'd be here this morning. And he knew who wouldn't be here this morning. And so you're candidates. He started talking to me about the family. You ever been involved in a family scrap? And I was just minding my own business yesterday, and I got in the middle of one. I didn't hit anybody, I didn't kick anybody, I never said a word, I hadn't talked to a soul yet, and I'm in the middle of something I didn't want to be in. And I started thinking about what the Lord was speaking to me about, and he showed me what was going on. Now just hold on to your safety belts. We, in the church and outside the church, are coming to a place where we're filled with emotional breakdown, crashes, or uncontrolled emotions. It's a sign of our times. And I believe today, and Kirk can straighten me out later, I believe that we're raising up an angry generation. There's uncontrolled anger, depression, frustration, abuse, hatred, and in our region, even murder. There's still, regardless of what people want to report, there's still racial discrimination. And people are getting more self-centered and selfish. It's all about me. Okay, that's a good report. I've learned something. It's basically impossible to counsel angry people. I even tried love and respect yesterday. That didn't work. Hello, come on, I'm serious. Somebody basically looked at me and said, well, what do you mean by that? It's okay. I believe much of what is going on in our dysfunctional families is demonic. How many understand what I'm talking about? I believe that Satan is attacking and attacking and attacking and attacking frustration and the verge of anger and frustration, and it's just rising up. So I was watching one of my grandkids. And I just started thinking, because what he's looking for or what he's getting because of what he's doing is simply discipline, 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 discipline. And I watched him yesterday. I took him out to Cracker Barrel and had breakfast with him and some of the other kids, and had to go to Cracker Barrel. And that's the best part of the message. And the Lord just started showing me something about the kid's life. And I said, yeah. Okay. I know where to go next time I see him. But there's an intense purpose that's working in Christian and non-Christian's home to destroy him. You know, it's normal now, but it's not normal in the household for the kids to tell the parents to shut up and hit them. Hello. I'm not being a grandparent, I'm being a pastor, and I'm telling you the truth. If, look at me, if kids don't respect parents they can see, how will they ever respect God they can't see? And if you and your families have disagreements in how to discipline your kids, get down together and figure something out, because things have to stop. Just like, if all you're doing is beating your kids and yelling at them, it's got to stop. Something has to come to bring about training for the children. Get rid of our anger issues and allow our kids to get rid of their anger issues and be a family. Are we okay? Yes. So after all that, am I okay? The Lord started telling me how. How are we going to do this? Look at me. I want you to understand, I'm not concerned how difficult your child is right now. I'm concerned with the fact that if you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you through the gifts, you're going to figure out a way how to deal with it. Amen. It's not over. And I hear parents throwing up their hands and saying, well, I can't deal with my six-month-old baby. He's always crying. Change his diaper. We have been gifted by God to understand things that are not understandable, to deal with things that seem impossible, to come to a place where we are handling situations that the psychiatrists or the doctors or the most intelligent people in the world don't have a clue about, because you're going to deal with your child's spirit and you're going to deal with the spirit of other people who have no answers for what they're going through. And we need the Holy Spirit. But it's easier to back away from something to step into it. It's easier to let somebody else do it, and I'll stay back. But friends, you are equipped by God to understand and know the things that are in your path and how to deal with them. Whether it's grandkids or children or neighbors' kids or neighbors or whoever it might be, stir up that gift. Get the Word of God in there. Get communication in the Holy Spirit. Get prayed up where we are fired up enough to know that, devil, you're not allowed in my children, you're not allowed in my house, you're not allowed in my business, you're not allowed to do this, it's over. At times it stops. And you may say, you're not equipped. Who told you that? Who told you can't do anything about it? Who told you your kid's impossible, or grandkid, or neighbor's kid, or kid in school, or whoever it might be? We listen to the wrong voices. And then when we're unable to do something about it, the devil brings one more great big thing to us. It's called depression. God's gifts are so powerful. God's presence is so amazing. God's ministry is so wonderful. All we have to do is listen and follow what He's telling us. You know, as grandparents, you see things that you would never see in your own kids. And the famous last words are, I would have never let my kid do that. Well, I'm talking yesterday, well, I would never let my kid do that. And my daughter reminded me of a few things. Isn't it amazing they don't forget? And I said, Tracy, you're just upset because you had to eat lima beans. Yeah, I had to eat those lima beans or I couldn't get away from the table. Know that commercial with the mother sitting with her kid and telling him to eat his vegetables and pretty soon he has a long beard? That's Tracy. You're going to sit there until you eat them all. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, would you? Can you keep your finger there for a moment while I go to verse 6 in 2 Timothy? Where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind or self-control. I don't want to miss that. Because we use that just like perfect love casts out fear, all fear in 1 John 4. And that verse deals with coming before God on the day of judgment. You don't have to have any fear in the day of judgment. 1 Timothy 4, or 2 Timothy 4, you can take it where you want. But I personally believe he's talking about there's no fear in flowing in the Holy Spirit and walking in the anointing and the gifts and the power. Now, you may look at me and say, but what if I make a mistake? How many of you ever drove in the ditch? How many of you ever did something with your car that, well, I'm never going to drive again. Made a mistake. I'm not going to drive. I'm going to stay home the rest of my life because I did something with the car. I hit a deer or I hit somebody or I bumped somebody or I smacked somebody's door when I opened it. I was in a waiting room yesterday and some people from Syston were there and I'm talking to them and I know who their parents are. And she said, well, at Summit, I just drove right in the ditch this morning. You know, I never said, boy, you got to watch that. You don't ever get, you got to stay here the rest of your life because you don't dare to drive home. There are times that we've made mistakes with the gifts. There are times we say things or do stuff with them that may not be right, but God understands and we learn from it and we move on. Don't be afraid to allow that gift to use that's within you. Don't invent new ones. He's got them all in here. Love the way you're shouting. You're released to flow in the Spirit. I'm getting looked at like a cow at a new gate. The old proverbial gate. First Corinthians 12. Verse 4, there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Go back with me to last week. When we told you God needs mothers and fathers in the body of Christ. God needs people looking out for people. God needs mothers and fathers who will take people under their wings and love them, nurture them, disciple them, minister to them. And it's a lot deeper than just a handshake on Sunday morning and as you're walking away, ask them how they are. This church needs fathers and mothers. Fact is, the Bible says older women, and I don't care what age that means, teach the younger women to love their husbands and do the things they should, and older men teach the younger men how to be a father, be a dad, be a husband. We need the gifts of the Spirit in that situation as well in raising children, working with other people, children, doing the other things, because until the things happening in kids' lives, children's lives, are broken. I don't like to use this terminology, but they're a mess. That can be closer to home than you think. And so God gives you a word of wisdom to speak into a situation, a tidbit of God's insight into that situation. You don't know what to do, God does. You don't know how to handle something, God does. And we step into that to minister to a need so it don't go deeper in where Satan's trying to take whoever. Might be your neighbor, it might be your brother's wife, it might be somebody else that's being ensnared by Satan, and God is equipping us to deal with it. But like he said, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of being a coward, of being, I won't use a chicken word. He's poured it into us so we can take the things that Satan means for evil and with the help of the Holy Spirit, turn them around for good so that these people, whoever they might be, have hope. Because when you're hopeless, you're depressed and you don't care. There's got to be hope. He gives us a word of knowledge. God knows exactly what's in the mind of people. I was reading about Reinhard Bonnke this week. He was preaching a service, and the evening before he preached, the Lord just gave him a name, and he said, I want you to call out the name John. I just want you to call out the name John. And Reinhard, being that wonderful man of faith he is, said, but God, there's hundreds of Johns in the service. Which one? He said, just say John. That same night, a mother's talking to his son, her son, whose name happened to be John. And she's trying to tell him God has a plan for his life. And she says, come to church with me. He says, okay, I'll come one time. I'll come one time. But if God has a plan for me, the pastor is going to let me know. See, God's sneaky. And so Reinhard's up there preaching, and he says, I got to do this. I don't mean to interrupt my train of thought, but he says, there's a man here by the name of John. God's talking to you. Guess what that did? The young man accepted Christ and has been serving God ever since. There's times it takes a word from God to penetrate the outer shell, to get into the heart, so God can do what he wants to do. And there's the miracle gifts. Do you realize that breaking depression or breaking anger or getting through the shells of people is no harder for God than healing a runny nose? Yeah. You see, when Reinhard Bonnke called out the name of John, he just was walking in obedience, and God did the rest. Gifts of healing. Be led by the Spirit. You can pray for people all over the world, but there are specific times when God drops something into your heart and the faith to go with it, and you'll see amazing miracles. There are healings just as we pray, but there are healings set up, this sounds like others aren't, set up by God to bring people into a place of faith. Discerning of spirits. You ever stop when somebody's talking to you or saying something or somebody's even prophesying to you or giving you a word, do you ever stop and say, that doesn't line up with the Bible? If something doesn't line up with God's word, I don't care if I preach it or somebody else preaches it, it's not from God. Don't be gullible. We need to be, seem like Jesus said, be wise as serpents and what? Harmless as doves. If somebody comes to you with a word, make sure God's speaking that word to you. Discerning of spirits is actually distinguishing spirits, which one's from God and which one's not. Hello? It's true. And we as believers have the tools to do the work of God. But I believe if I know Kirk, he had more than a hammer when he started to build his house. Hello? Don't make me a fibber now. Two hammers. One left-handed and one right-handed. And so we come to a place where God wants to equip us, but you can't go out there half-equipped. Like, and you may not think this is funny. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. Probably the only original thing I thought of. But a lot of Christians are spiritual streakers. All they have is a helmet of salvation. It's all they got. And God absolutely, radically wants to equip us, because the devil's not going after your family or after your neighbor or after this church or after anybody that you know with just a half-hearted effort. He's there to tear it down and destroy it. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Have your loins girt about with truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of gospels of faith. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. We're standing. He doesn't say chase the devil. He says stand. Stand in front of him. You know something? The challenge isn't so awesome when we know that God's doing it. The challenge is overwhelming when we think we got to do it ourselves. Freedom, I love shouting I'm free. Freedom is more than shouting I'm free. Freedom is living I'm free. Shouting it is a sign that, hey, I got something, or I want something, or I'm giving God credit for it. But when I leave here, I have to walk it in the Holy Spirit. I live it in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. The Bible tells us at the end of chapter 12 that we are to desire the best gift. In 14:1, it says desire spiritual gifts. How long has it been since you determined to stir up the gift and walk in the spirit of those gifts? Allow him working through you. You have the Holy Spirit. He has the gifts. All you need to do is say, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to beg for it. You come to a place of saying, God, today I choose to be led by the Spirit and flow in the gifts. Paul tells Timothy they were imparted by the laying on of hands. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens without having it imparted by somebody. It's available to you. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'll stop there. I'm tired of walking by a curtain in the jail where the juveniles are, because we don't get to see them. I want that curtain tore down. I want those cell blocks opened. I want kids to be kids. I want God to set them free. I want this town to be touched by the Spirit of God, to move in the presence of God. And friends, we are the answer. It's deeper than just saying, well, God, you're the answer. Jesus said, I've equipped you, and because I'm in you, you are the answer to this situation. We can no longer sit here or stand here and say, God, I can't do anything about it. Do something. And God says, I've called you to do it. I've called you to do it. If you're not saved yet, you're still called. Get saved. If you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're called. Get filled. If you're afraid of using the gifts, fear is gone. You've learned that today. Step in and say, God, I need what I need for this person and that person and this person. And God will say, I've been waiting. God loves this region too much to see it keep going the direction it is. It's time for the church to be the church of Jesus Christ and rise up in the Holy Spirit and stand tall for Jesus.